Yes, indeed. We're almost there. It is Thursday, and I wish you a happy, happy one. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. 707 Time Check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. As you heard, as part of Top of the Hour, things are kind of ongoing, you would say, with Iran, kinetically, right? President Donald Trump yesterday said the U.S. is prepared to strike Iran again at any time. And this was right after U.S. forces intercepted several retaliatory Iranian attacks that Trump downplayed as a love tap. Yep. It was a very heavy attack last night, and we're prepared to do another one anytime we want. We blew up much more than their radars. We have technology that's incredible. Nobody has technology like we have. We hit them very hard last night. We took out all the new equipment that they tried to build along the Strait of Hormuz, some defensive, some offensive.
I'm offended.
Why?
By them, by the Iranians. They're offensive.
Yeah. The squeeze is on.
Yeah.
We've tightened the noose. We've done, you know, a lot of damage economically to them, militarily, of course. And you need the wealthy folks that are at the top of the food chain there, but maybe just, you know, underneath the IRGC and some of the clerics. They need to work to get the regime out. They do. And they may see the writing on the wall, even though they're the last ones to feel the economic pinch. You know when things have gone downhill economically. You know when you're being squeezed. They're not going to wait till they have nothing to go into panic mode. People don't acquire wealth with that kind of attitude. So that's kind of some of the hope in working our way to a better solution, which means the regime has got to go, and some of that, at least some of it, has to occur from within, I would guess. You heard about the Minneapolis shooting, right? This guy had given warnings. He was kind of a nutbag. He was getting drunk, waving his gun around previous. I mean, some stuff dates back like 6 months. Carlton Johnson, the second, 35 years old, clashed with residents at Shoreline Plaza. He allegedly assaulted one person, showed off his gun in several incidents this year over a six-month time frame. He was slapped with an eviction notice and faced a hearing on September 11th. He allegedly killed two people, injured six, including three police officers, before reportedly taking his own life. Neighbors recalled him seemingly been plotting some sort of massacre in the days before the shooting. Remember the old, if you see something, say something?
Yes.
I don't know how much of that was followed. Johnson, who lived alone, allegedly threatened to shoot his ex-girlfriend and two property managers. And one of his neighbors of just a few months recalled a conversation on either Sunday or Monday. He said, "I'm going to shoot people." And he was very, very angry, drunk, and mad. Another guy recently moved out of the apartment complex. He claimed that Johnson was fighting people every day, every darn day. And he said Thompson and Johnson was someone who socialized with neighbors but had lost everything, quote unquote. So anyway, what do you want to say? He snapped, whatever the case may be. If we can find some kind of silver lining, you know, in Minneapolis, that's where the whole defund the police thing kind of, you know, caught traction. They are still like anywhere from 130 to 170 officers short.
Wow.
It's even, I think, they're under a court order to now to force them to hire.
My goodness.
But all that being said, they still responded to this in less than 2 minutes.
That's amazing.
It's like a minute 42 or something like that. That is amazing.
Yeah.
And so it goes to show you that there's good cops. They're on the job. They're responding very, very quickly to a very, very dangerous situation. And so kudos to them.
They hear the shots. They run towards them.
Yep.
That's the deal.
But, man, you know, in almost every area where they've defunded the police and scaled back the police, the crime rates have gone up, which goes against a lot of the national numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically red states making blue states, you know, when you take the national average, make them look good. But if you extrapolate the blue cities and blue states, you get an entirely different picture.
And Donald Trump is still wanting to go into Chicago, you know, do a little cleanup like he did in D.C. and a couple of other cities.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
Monday, you know, the U.S. Open's going on. Big time tennis, Flushing Meadows and all that. And apparently Emma Navarro defeated Lois Boysen. It was a hard-fought, three-set, first-round contest at the U.S. Open. While Navarro waved to the crowd and celebrated her victory, Boysen took her racket and pounded it into scrap metal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't play tennis. I watch it on occasion. You know, I loved the Agassi era, you know, back in the day. But now you being kind of into it, to me, that just... Isn't that like a big no-no? I mean, that's pretty bad when that's your sportsmanship.
Yes, it is. And she may be fine, possibly, for something like that. But players have lost their tempers before. But the thing is, I mean, she didn't even bother to even pick up the pieces. She left that for the ball girls to do.
Wow.
It's funny. It pounded into scrap metal. It's like, really? What are you, like 90 years old and you think people are still using the T2000 or whatever? No, Jimmy Connors isn't playing anymore. Okay?
Oh, that's funny.
Metal. I mean, how else do you pound it into scrap metal? What do you say? Scrap composite?
Yeah. Because
pieces of composite were everywhere.
Yeah.
And, of course, the scene went viral and all that. And but it's going on, the U.S. Open, and it's a pretty big deal. There's a lot of tennis fans, and it's an event, too. It's, you know, it's one where, you know, the who's who are gonna show up at these matches. But in this particular match, no one's going to even remember that or the fact that it was delayed for a while. They're just going to remember the pounding that racket
tantrum
took, apparently.
But what a description, though.
It happens. It's not it. It doesn't happen a lot.
It just, when it does, it gets talked about, I guess, maybe.
Pete Townsend smashes a guitar on stage. He's a rock and roll hero.
Yeah.
This girl smashes her tennis racket at the U.S. Open.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, she's a monster.
Exactly. Go figure. Perspective, I guess.
Times have changed. But, you gotta contain yourself. You know?
Uh-huh. I agree.
14 years after his statue was removed from Beaver Stadium in the aftermath of the worst scandal in the history of college sports, Penn State University will honor former head coach Joe Paterno with an exhibit bearing his name. Penn State will unveil this, I believe, later on today. The initiative marks the first major effort by the university to honor the former coach since his firing during the 2011 season after revelations that the university officials buried child sex abuse allegations against former Penn State defensive coordinator Jerry Sandusky. Now that name, for most people, definitely rings a bell. Paterno's contract was terminated November 9, 2011, 61 years. 61 years after he first arrived on the campus in 1950, 45 years since he took over the football program in 1966. And it was just 74 days later that he passed away at the age of 85 due to complications from lung cancer. And that kind of stress and all that probably didn't help. Mm. But, you know, now the story's a little bit dated, and I don't know exactly how large his role was in either looking the other way or covering for Sandusky, but apparently it was enough to, well, they took the statue down.
Yeah.
But yet they're going to honor him. I guess it's kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah, it's an interesting twist, if nothing else.
Yeah. And, did I mention the big cocaine scandal they have going on there, too? That's been in the news as well. Okay, it's tough to be a Nittany Lion these days.
Yeah.
7:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and coming up next, what's bugging you? Get it off your chest, feel better. What's bugging you is brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Call in now, 877-975-9825. What's bugging you? Coming up next. And here we are, where you can get some free therapy. We call it What's bugging you? A chance for you to air it out, get it off your chest. Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. So call in now, 877-975-9825. And good morning, David. What's bugging you?
Yes, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I was calling about a cause and a beef or but how people can get involved with conservation and stuff. There's corridors and such people can be involved with. Association actually is going to be formed or is formed. And it's all in the name of conserving wildlife, like bears and otters and animals that cross the road. Anyway, people need to be involved with that best as possible. Thank you.
All right. So it's bugging him that not enough people, I guess, are involved in those kinds of things?
I guess so. So the key here is don't run over the animals, please.
Well, I think you should avoid them when possible. If it's going to result in a head-on collision with an 18-wheeler, I would say you might have to do an animal sacrifice on the spot. Not happy about it.
Not at all.
Yeah, that animal is not going to feed my family and take care of other business.
You don't want a beaver in your grill.
I'll have to think about that just a little bit. Good morning, Denny. What's bugging you?
Hey, good morning, man. Well, you know, the election coming around and everything, whether it's regular elections or midterm, and the first thing you hear about is not enough money for Social Security, not enough money for Medicare. And then you get to looking back at all this money that went to fraud in a few places, which is probably every state in the country, the billions and billions of dollars, unreal. And the federal government's like, oh, we don't have the money for this and that. But yet, they can give our money away to anybody. And, of course, they get a percentage back, but they don't want to tell you about that part either. We were warned that government's like a fire, and if you don't keep it under control, it's going to get out of hand. And we might be coming to a time where we need to put a fire out.
Well, and same time we have socialists that call for a much, much greater expanse and control via government.
Yeah.
And that they think that's the solution. It's like government's really not efficient or effective in most of the things they do now. You want to expand that, say, and take care of all your health needs?
But Bob, they're going to take the money from the rich people. It's not going to cost us anything.
No, hardly anything ever. Yeah. Good morning, Wayne. What's bugging you?
Good morning, gentlemen. There's a lot of things bugging me, but I don't know if I had enough time to be able to lay it out on the table. From the point of people moving down to Florida because they screwed up their own states by their voting record and the raising the taxes and everything, moving here, kind of like socialism, taking the easy road because they screwed up their own state. Why don't they stay there and fix it? The other thing is people are they're talking about this bear hunt that's coming up. You know what? If you don't want to have to kill the bears, because there's so many of them, stop tearing down their damn homes. Don't move to Florida and cut down the woods and build more houses and roads. It's that simple. They were born in the woods. It's their home, guys.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's true. They were there first.
Yeah. We have to learn to live together. We have to coexist.
But you might not want to swim the sharks.
Or alligators. 877-975-9825. Last chance to get in and get it off your chest. You're going to feel better, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Mark. What's bugging you?
Hey, Bob and Greg. What's bugging me is I had to drive from my Itchituckney neighborhood to Alachua yesterday on U.S. Highway 27 East and 60-mile-an-hour speed limit. There was this dude in an F-150 going 44 miles an hour and like dozens of people piled up behind him, and I was trapped by oncoming traffic and double yellow lines. I was tempted to use American Sign Language when I finally was able to pass, but I maintained my composure, and then all 12 of us passed behind him.
That'll
drive you crazy.
So aggravating.
It is.
Yeah.
That happens between like Gainesville and Melrose a bit, if you're in some of those places.
No, you don't say.
No, I just did.
You don't say, Greg.
I know you knew all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I do that every single day. Oh, there was a guy that was passing like crazy yesterday on the way home.
Yeah.
I mean, dangerous stuff, double yellow, coming up to a turn. Honest to God, I was saying a little prayer. I'm like, I don't want to see pieces of metal flying.
Yeah.
And as far as I could tell, he got as far as, and we're talking over a span of like 15 miles. Mm-hmm. He probably got a quarter of a mile ahead of me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I know it's traffic in between, but there's nowhere to go. And that's what was bugging me. 728 on the Bob Rose Show. We got a ton of stuff to get to. Hang in there. 97.3 The Sky. Good thing we're not on the air, Greg. My goodness. I am shocked.
Oh, my goodness.
Shocked. And it's not because of what you said, because that's humdrum talk. It's who said it.
Yeah.
Oh!
Exactly.
Your halo is crumbling, Greg.
Oh, no.
Quick. You must resurrect your image immediately.
Yeah, just like a tennis racket on a court. Just it's in pieces.
You just... Yeah. Good morning, everybody. 7:36. Everybody in Radioland. You like how I did that?
Yes.
Hey, everybody.
It's DJ Bob.
Look at me. I'm in your speaker. Now I'm over here. I'm over there. It is.
Hey, there was a time when we had that little knob to play with the stereo.
Yes,
back in the day.
We did at least once.
Absolutely.
I remember doing it once.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because I heard the Morty guys do it, so I had to do it. Yeah, because I want to be cool like them.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, claimed U.S. pilots were killed in counterattacks against the U.S. targeting neighboring Arab states on Tuesday. CENTCOM said strikes against the IRGC targets began around midnight and in response to recent attempted attacks by the IRGC against commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz and against American service members deployed to the region. And Iran attacked civilian vessels in the Strait of Hormuz Monday night. A Saudi-based shipping company said Wednesday that two Filipino crew members were killed in the attack on one of those ships. All right. Iranian state media claimed that only four IGC members were killed by the U.S. strikes on Tuesday. Iranian foreign minister said the U.S. strike was a war crime. So we're getting some conflicting information. President Trump overall said, and this was yesterday, that Iran's regime is getting weaker and weaker by the day. He suggested Tehran may be nearing the limits of what it can withstand under mounting U.S. pressure, one day after calling on Iranians to rise up and fight. So, you know, this is obviously still kind of going back and forth. And I think that the president will not hesitate if more kinetic action is called for. And the economic impact is definitely being felt by Iranians. And unfortunately, you know, it's the people that are going to feel it first and feel it the worst. So the pressure has got to be felt by the, you know, the top 1%, the top 1% of wealth. And then when they really feel it, and I've heard it said before, well, you know, what they've been feeling economically is, you know, their kid's not going to get a new BMW this year. That kind of thing. So it still might be a little while before they start to really see feel the pain, but they can also see the writing on the wall. So you've got that. Thomas Weir Paukin II. An American citizen who worked in China from 2019 to 2026 was sentenced Tuesday to 2 years in prison for acting as an agent of a foreign government within the United States. Paukin exploited his U.S. citizenship and corresponding ability to travel to the U.S. without restriction in order to support Chinese Ministry of State security operations, recruiting, and gathering of sensitive information from potential assets. So for that, you get 2 years in prison? 2 years in an American prison?
That's nothing.
It really, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not. that is certainly not a deterring effect. Hey, if you get caught spying, we could send you away for 2 years. Ooh.
And American prisons aren't like prisons around the world.
No, just there is saying. Many that are far, far worse. Like, well, say in China, for instance.
Yeah.
Paukin betrayed his country for money. The National Security Division is committed to holding accountable anyone who aids or abets Chinese espionage efforts. But again, is that it?
Huh.
2 years? He's 50 years old. He was arrested by the FBI at the Crown Plaza Hotel near Dulles Airport in D.C. on February of 26. A few days before the arrest, he allegedly offered a $10,000 payment to an unidentified Trump administration official to use their security clearance to provide Chinese intelligence with sensitive information.
Wow.
He had been scheduled to fly from Dulles back to China the day before he was taken into custody. Wow.
Now, tie this into the story that you did yesterday that talked about birth tourism and the 200,000 to 300,000 babies that were born here, many of which have gone back to China, who are going to be raised in lots of different lines of work, and they will be able to travel to America, and they are U.S. citizens. What kind of future trouble do we have to look forward to?
Somebody that has been raised in a communistic culture, maybe trained in certain ways, and you know if you grow up in a communist regime, you will do the bidding for the regime when they call upon you. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if you decide not to follow through with whatever you're ordered to do, not good things happen to anything that you care about, including loved ones.
But now you do that as an American citizen and all those rights. That makes it so much easier.
Well, remember, we did some of the math on that, and you're talking about, you know, 20 or 22,000 births per year over the last decade,
yeah,
on average. Mm-hmm. Okay, if only just a dozen or so from each year turn out to be really bad people,
mm-hmm,
you've still got 100 bad people. Can you imagine if they're well-trained? What,
yeah,
100 people with U.S. citizenship,
uh-huh,
their name's not going to be on a terror fly list.
Nope.
They're going to get on a plane, they're going to get here, and they're going to be unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot you can do about it until they do something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's not a pretty picture. And if you think that that's beyond, you know, the capabilities or the thinking of the Chinese, you would be sadly mistaken. They are in an asymmetrical war with us, and they don't look at it, you know, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to say what they wouldn't do, which isn't much.
And yet the lefties, the Dems, they don't think any farther ahead, and they're, you know, they want to basically defend the birth tourism industry.
They're either suckers or stupid, or they're benefiting from it in some way. That's generally the thought. If you don't take China seriously by now, you're, again,
stupid,
you're
or
dumb,
on the take.
Dumb, ill-informed, or you're on the take, or there's something in it for you, because it's obvious to anybody with at least half a brain. All right. So, yeah, and this, it is kind of an interesting story. Like, how do you end up getting turned like that,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
And one of the things was apparently he had a sex, why can't I speak today? I don't know. I apologize. Successful career as a writer and a videographer for Chinese media outlets for about 7 years.
Hmm.
His last above board job was working as an editor for a Chinese state-run news agency. In 2017, he was allegedly recruited as an agent for Chinese military intelligence by a woman identified as Kathy. Kathy initially claimed that she conducted research for a legitimate think tank operation. So he thinks this is a legit job offer, right?
Okay.
Paukin also allegedly did some intel gathering work for two other contacts in China who told him they worked for the government of Japan, although he suspected they were actually Chinese operatives, and he was allegedly hired by a group in the now infamous city of Wuhan, uh-huh, to produce reports on the U.S. Department of Justice and its technological resources.
Well, now, there's an interesting connection.
Wow. And it all goes back to China.
Uh-huh.
and you have to say it like that, China.
You got to hold your lips and your teeth just right when you do that.
And kind of do a fake, honest, a grin, a tight grin. China. All right. James Carville in the news. That raging Cajun, what's that old crazy boy up to?
Oh, man.
We'll share that with you in a whole lot more. Top stories coming up. Carl Zalek, Marion County Commissioner, at the top of the hour. Don't go away. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Well, how you doing? Good morning. Welcome. Here we are. Another day in paradise, my friends. They call it Thursday. I call it the fill day for the weekend, okay?
I like that.
No, we're going to make it a great one. 7:50 right now, 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. Greg Cassidy is here. Coming up, Carl Zell, like Marion County Commissioner, with the latest and greatest things going on. It's always hustle bustle. Lots of things going on in Marion County, and he's great about sharing that stuff with us as well. And I might add an opinion or two. You never know. Could throw it in there. Yeah. Speaking of opinions, Democratic strategist James Carville, usually never short of an opinion, he labeled the far-left streamer Hassan Piker an idiot on Tuesday.
Subtlety.
And distanced himself from Piker's band of left-wing idiots. Now, here's the interesting thing. I was telling Greg this the other day, that he was on with Jesse Waters of Fox News. Carville was.
Yeah.
And, of course, Jesse was asking him all about, you know, the socialism and Hassan Piker and all that. And knowing pretty much how James Carville feels about that,
right?
It was unbelievable. It's as though he was operating in a vacuum, like James Carville wasn't aware that we all know. We've seen all the videos.
Yeah.
You know, the YouTube stuff, the stuff they repeat on Fox and other places.
Sure.
The news stories that we get and we share. We know where he's coming from. And he... like played it all down. Like you could see Jesse Waters even kind of like looking around like, I just saw you. And he did. He said, you just said this the other day, blah, blah, blah. And it was funny. It's almost like, well, I can throw all the punches I want and do all the infighting I want within my realm, but don't kid yourself. You're still at Fox News and you're enemy number one.
Wow.
So yeah, they hate Fox News more than they hate socialism.
That is sad.
Yes, it is.
That is just
sad.
Well,
think about it. Trump derangement syndrome.
Oh,
it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You hate Trump more than you love America. I'll say that any day, any time about those people.
And we know who they are because they're always spouting off.
This guy, Piker, look, I've never actually, you know, followed him as far as, you know, listening to him or whatever.
Right.
Gosh, I have no need to. And I know they're cherry-picking his stuff. And I also know that he knows if he says outrageous stuff, he's going to get attention.
Sure.
But this guy is definitely a loser. He's definitely anti-Semitic. He's definitely anti-American.
He's dangerous.
There's no doubt about it. And even Debbie Dingell from Michigan, longtime Democrat, she even scratches her head and says, the question I have is, how does this guy have such a following? Like, who is nuts enough, who's kooky enough to actually enjoy what that loser has to say? I mean, she spelled it out pretty clearly, and she's a longtime Democrat, Debbie Dingell.
Wow.
Remember, her husband passed away, and she took over the seat and has been there for a long time. She's a known entity in Michigan. She's one of the few Democrats, I think, that maybe left that still... is somewhat normalized, if you will.
A little
you know
more
I mean?
Old school Democrat. Kind
yes.
of.
Yes. Yeah. Leaning that way for sure. Yeah. She understands that socialism isn't the way to go. Although she did, it was an interesting interview because somebody had mentioned the UAW and how the auto workers union, they have the best medical coverage.
Right.
I mean, it's been that way for a long time. Dad worked for Chrysler for 30 years up there, so we know something about it. And the Blue Cross that we used to have, I mean, it was, you just couldn't get a better policy, really. Mm-hmm. And so they continue to accrue these benefits through the years and the bargaining and all that. And Debbie Dingell said something like, oh, the UAW is actually in favor of the Medicare for All. I was like, wow, which I understand
wow.
how they're lining up. okay? Because unions by nature tend to be, you know, workers' party kind of thought process. So, you know, I was kind of shocked by that. I wonder if the auto workers themselves, not the union and union reps,
right,
if the auto workers are aware of that.
I doubt it.
They should be aware of that, made aware of that, because I can tell you that that would be, to me, for many of them, a deciding factor. It's like, oh, no, there's a reason why I show up every day and bust my butt.
Uh-huh.
It's not just the pay, it's the benefits, and I've got a family, et cetera. I can see it. So this will be interesting moving forward, and what kind of Hassan Piker and how he's attached at the hip to this Al Sayed. I mean, he is. But James Carville was going off on Piker, who is a self-described socialist who hates America and has campaigned with Democrat Michigan U.S. Senate candidate Abdul Al Sayed, has become a leading voice of the far left as socialists fight to gain influence in the Democratic Party. Yeah, they're like leeches, and they're sucking the blood out of the Democrat Party. And the Democrats have allowed that to happen. And as much as they try to separate themselves from Hassan Piker, too late. As much as they try to separate themselves from the Democrat socialist wing, good luck. Too late. There's two things that I know about Hassan Piker. This is James Carville. One, he's an idiot. Two, he's not a Democrat. So I don't answer for idiots, and I don't answer for people who are not Democrats. That was actually part of when he did speak on Fox News. Carville had previously criticized Piker and even said he will leave the Democrat Party if Piker becomes a force.
Wow.
Yep. I understand that I'm a Democrat. I'm part of a big coalition, a big tent, and we all have an admission policy. But thank God Hassan Piker doesn't want in our frat, because we don't want him.
But does he want in? His people are in.
Well, he likes the schmoozing. He knows that this has brought him more attention than he's ever had before, by far. It's not even close. And he's an attention seeker. So, yeah. He is going, and so has he shied away from speaking about Al Sayed or anybody else? No, he's doubled down on all that because that's bringing him further fame. Yeah. The danger is there's actually people who listen and take in the nonsense, evil, and hatred that he spews. That's the scary part. What can we do to turn those people around? What kind of policies can we put in place where they will see that as advantageous moving into the future instead of just giving up and hoping for socialism? We can do better. We will do better. Carl Zalek, Marion County Commissioner, coming up next. You're listening to The Bob Rose Show along with Greg Cassidy on 97.3 The Sky.